Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Hallelujah. Woo, surely He shall deliver. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We believe in you. We believe in you. We believe in you. Hallelujah. We believe in you. We put our trust in you. Oh, we trust in you. We look to you. We thank you for being our shield. Thank you for being our protection. Thank you for being our refuge, our fortress, our God in whom we have faith. We trust in you, Lord. We believe in what you said. You have given your angels charge over us, and they are busy about keeping us in all our ways. And we thank you so much for it. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this reality. Thank you for this great grace that is upon our lives, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We are so secure, so safe. You got us covered. We're under your wings. We are fully protected. And we thank you so much for it. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for taking such good care of us. Thank you for honoring us and with long life satisfying us. Praise God. We want to live long on the earth. We got a work to do. We got a lot of things to do. We need all the time we can get. There's a lot of people that need a lot of help. And so we need a lot of time. So we're going to stick around. Not that we don't want to go to heaven. We want to get to heaven, don't we? I mean, we want to get to heaven and see the King face to face. We want to get on over there in that glory of God. No doubt about that. But yet people need us. People need the church. People need the body of Christ. People need you. And so you need to stick around. I said, you need to stick around and do the work of God. Hallelujah. And you know, I love that last part where he says, I will honor him. I will honor him. Then it flows right into, he says, I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. You know, to honor is to esteem. And God esteems your life in this world. He esteems your physical life. He values your physical life. He values your physical body. He values your time here on earth. And that's why, because he honors you, because he values your physical life, with long life, he will satisfy you. He will keep you going. Because he honors you, because he esteems you in this world physically, he will keep you going. He will keep you running strong. Amen. God cares about your life here on earth. You know, a lot of religious folks don't, you know, they say, no, you know, God doesn't care about the physical life. And that's just so ridiculous, because he created it. He created your physical body. He put you here in this world for a purpose. He esteems it. He values it. Like I was saying last night, he values our lives more than we do, because he's done more for us than we've ever done for ourselves. He's done more than we were ever willing to do for ourselves. He wants us to be strong and healthy. We can never question that. We can never question God's will for us here on earth. It's long life. Long, healthy, strong life where you're under his shadow and he's got you covered. He's got you covered. You are protected. You are safe. And notice this other part of what he says here too. He says, verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. He never said there would not be things that are terrifying that would come into our life. He never said that the terror would never come. He never said arrows would not go flying. He never said no weapon will be formed against you. He never said that. He never said no weapon will be formed against you. He said no weapon formed against you will prosper. And he promises to keep us from fear when there is terror all around. In fact, here he talks about 1,000 falling at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It doesn't get much closer than that. I'm talking about destruction. I'm talking about problems. I mean, especially in this world today with all the explosives and terrorist attacks, you know, you can walk into a place and boom, 1,000 people are killed right by your side, right there at your side, people dead all around you. But you didn't get touched. 10,000 people at your right hand. Maybe you're in a stadium, God forbid, and something happens. 10,000 people were killed. It was right there at your side. They were all around you. But yet, it didn't touch you. In fact, not only does it not touch you, but notice what he said. He said, it won't even come near you. It won't even come near you. It won't even come near you. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but yet it's not going to come near you. That sounds like a contradiction. I mean, how near can you be than a person at your right at your side? And I asked the Lord about that one day. That kind of caught my attention. I thought, you know, 1,000 people at your side, and then you say it's not going to come near you. I don't understand that. I mean, that's pretty, I mean, you don't get any nearer than that. And then the Lord gave me an illustration of an aquarium. How many people remember this? And you go into an aquarium, you know, and you go and see the sharks. And you walk up to that tank, and you know, you see little kids, they put their face right up against it. They put their nose right up against that glass. And here comes a big shark. Big hammerhead shark, you know. Nasty looking thing. Terrifying looking thing. Come right, it sees you. It's hungry. It's coming right at the glass. And you're only, technically speaking, you're only don't know, a couple inches away from that shark when that shark bumps noses with that glass that that kid's nose or your nose is on. I mean, we're talking about right next to you. And yet, you don't run over there and grab your kid and run out of there, right? If you see a little kid, he's got his nose up, you see the shark coming towards his kid, you go, Charlie! Junior Charlie! You don't grab him and run him out of there? Are you trying to get killed? Why are you putting your nose up against that glass? Didn't you see that shark and the teeth? Does a parent react that way? No, the parent takes out their camera and starts taking pictures. Right? Look how close. Look how absolutely no fear whatsoever. And yet you've got this ferocious, vicious looking creature coming right at you. And yet there's no fear. Why is that? Because you're in two, even though you're near, you're not really near because you're in two different realms. You're in two different realms. You and I are in the realm of God. We're not in the flesh. We don't live life in the flesh. We live life in Him, in Christ, in God. We're in the realm of the glory of God. And you can't see Him just like that glass. You know, you see through glass. We see right through God, but we know He's all around me. He's a shield all around me. I'm in a completely different place than where the devil can occupy, where the devil can operate. The devil can't touch me. He can swim all around me. He can shoot fiery darts all around me. He can create lying symptoms and worries in my mind and in my body, but he cannot harm me. He cannot touch me. Why? Because I am in God. I am in the secret place of the Most High. I am in a fortress. It's like a glass fortress. You can't see the fortress, but I am in a fortress. I am in Him. I'm under His shadow. Can you say amen? And therefore, we're not afraid. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, because we know God is here and you can't see Him. That's why we don't walk by sight, because you can't see God. If you walk by sight, then you're going to react to what you see and forget about what you cannot see, which is even more real, more powerful than what you can see. Amen. So we don't want to just see the shark and forget the fortress that we are in. We are in Him. We are safe and secure. Hallelujah. That's the reality of it. I said, that's the reality of it. Now, the devil, he's like a magician. He can create all kinds of lying symptoms, scenarios that would try to cause you to worry, that would cause you to think you're sinking, even though you're far above him. You're far above him. You have to acknowledge where you are in Christ and not focus on where you appear to be in the natural, in the physical. You got to know and focus on where you are in the Spirit. Can you say amen? We are in Him. I said, we're in Him. Say, I am in Him. I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In fact, grab me that book, In Him, from Brother Hagin. Bring that up here real quick. We're going to do some In Him scriptures. Why don't you turn around and greet some folks? Welcome into the house of the Lord. Bless them this morning. In Him realities. Let's see. I'm just going to go through some of these scriptures because we're in. This is the secret place of the Most High, guys. This is that fortress that we are in. And it's in Him. We're just flowing with the Holy Spirit this morning. He's led us to do this. So let's really get this. Let's get a hold of this. Acts 17:28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. Everybody say in Him. That's where we live. Now, can you see Him? You can't see him, but yet you are in him. And that's where we live. That's not after we die. That's where we live. Present tense. In him, we live and move and have our being in this life. We're in him. So say this with me. Say, in him I live and move and have my being. What a vast storehouse of power. In Christ my Savior and Lord of my life. I have energy and strength for the impossible tasks. Because I'm in him. I'm in him. John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye, that's you, are the branches. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Right? Didn't he just say in Psalm 91, he said that you'll call upon him and he'll answer you. You call on him, he answers you. You ask and he answers you. He says, whatever you ask, he will give it to us. We will receive it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Because I'm in him. You got to get a hold of this. See? Just as surely as we're in this building. You know, you think about if there's a storm outside. It's raining. The wind is blowing. And yet, you're inside. You're dressed in pajamas. You're just relaxed, you know. You're having something to eat. Meanwhile, right through your glass window, you look and you see trees bending. You see lightning flashing. You see rain just pouring down. And yet you are completely, completely untouched by it. You're untouched by it. And meanwhile, it's all around you. This massive storm is just pouring down all around you. You're completely unfazed. You just go about your business inside that house. You're on the phone. You do your thing, whatever it is. Go eat a meal. You're completely, totally unmoved by it because you're in something. You're in something. You're in that house. Well, in the spirit, we're more than just in a house. We're in him. This is reality. This is an in him reality. We got to get a hold of this. We are in him. And just like you wouldn't be afraid of the shark at the aquarium, you wouldn't be afraid of that storm. You wouldn't be afraid of the storm because of the house that you're in. We shouldn't be afraid of anything because of the God that we're in. We are in Christ Jesus. We are in, and old things have passed away. That's not what we identify with anymore. Now our identity is him. We identify with him. That's where we are. Now, these realities in the spirit will create physical realities in our life as we believe them, as we abide in them, as the word of God abides in us. As we get a hold of the word we're hearing tonight, that word abides in us. When God's word abides in us, then that will keep us in him, where nothing around us can harm us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, we are righteous in him. Everything's just right in him. It doesn't matter what's going wrong outside of him, outside of you. It doesn't matter what's going wrong around you. See, we don't want to react to the wrong that's going on around us. We want to focus in on what's right in us and where we're in, the place that we're in. See, just believe the word. Trust the word. Word of God's abiding in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No more guilt, no more shame, no more feeling of inferiority. None of that. We were talking about that on Wednesday night, about the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God where? See, it's in him. See, you got to say the world is living in themselves, living for themselves, living in themselves. Everything they do is in their own strength. We don't do anything in ourselves, in our own strength. We do everything from that place in him. What we do in him. It all comes from him. It's all in the house. Everything you need is in him. Do you believe that? Everything you need is in him. You don't have to go outside. A lot of people run outside to try to get what they need. See, that's the problem with walking by sight. Now get this. People walk by sight, they react, and meanwhile, here they are, they're in him. You know, they went to church, they go nestled in him, they're just so secure in him. Then they go outside, you know, outside physically, but they're still in him, you know. They get outside, and then circumstances arise that cause them to panic and fear. And they end up running right outside into the storm. They run right into it. They run right into a lightning strike. Faith keeps you in peace. Faith keeps you in that place of knowing I'm safe right where I am. I've got everything I need. I have everything I need is right here. It's in him. I don't have to go running outside of him to get what I need. If I have to go outside of him, if I got to get away from him to get it, then it ain't worth getting. Because what you're going to get is in trouble. You're just going to get a lot of trouble if you try to go outside of him to get. And that's what a lot of people do. They get outside the wisdom of God. They get outside of the leading of God. They get away from the presence of God. And they just run. They get away from the word of God. And now they're operating out of their reasonings. And they're trying to figure everything out. And they're running away from him and reacting to the circumstances of life. So we don't want to react to the circumstances of life. We want to respond according to the word of God. And that'll keep you in that place. No panic. No more panicking. No more fearing. See, you got to understand the power of fear. If you go to Isaiah 54:14, he says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Remember what he said in Psalm 91? It will not come near you. It will not come near you. I can feel it. It will not come near you. I can see the symptoms. It will not come near you. But I can feel it. I can see it. You're over in the physical realm. Let's get over into the spirit. Let's get over into the place of faith. Let's get over into the word of God. What does the word say? He says, it won't come near me. So this, therefore, is a lying symptom. It's a lie. It's a mirage. It's a deception. It will not come near me, because that's what he said. I believe what he said more than what I see. You got to believe what he says more than what you see. Say, I believe what God says more than what I see. He said demonic oppression will not come near me. I'll be far from it. Because I don't fear. Now, if you fear, you'll run into it. Fear will cause you to run into it. Fear gets you to react. But again, we're not going to react in fear. We're going to respond in faith to the word. Don't react in fear to the circumstances. Respond in faith to the word. In chapter 54, verse 4, He says, do not fear, for you shall not be ashamed, nor be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. No disgrace, no shame. See, that brings us back to that condemnation. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no shame. There is no disgrace. That's a wonderful place. In Him. Why don't you just go? You know, some of you need to go on a vacation. You know, you need to go ahead and go to that place in Him. You know. And don't just rent it for a little while. Just go ahead and buy the cabin, you know. Just buy the whole thing and just live inside there. Just get in that place, praise God, and just live in a continual vacation place. It's a resort. In Him is a resort. It's got everything you need, all the fun, all the excitement, everything you could want. It's all in Him. You're fully supplied in Him. It's all in the house. Everybody say, no disgrace, no shame. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. He goes on in verse, Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are in God's kingdom. We're in Him, then we're in His kingdom. Verse 14, in whom? In whom? We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God, if we stay in Him, we are washed clean of all sin. That's why there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Him. See, there's running water in Him. There's running water. In Him, you could take a shower. In Him, you can get yourself cleaned up. You can go over to the sink, wash your hands. In Him, there's all kinds of water where you can get cleansed, where you can get washed. Oh, hallelujah. We just let the Word of God abide in us. And because of that, we just walk in Him and we receive the mercy and forgiveness that we may need if we got tripped up, messed up, because we got our eyes off of Him. You know, it's the only reason why people mess up in life is because they got their eyes off of Him. If we don't get our eyes off of Him and we maintain a God consciousness instead of a sin consciousness, instead of a flesh consciousness, then if we can keep our minds on Him and stay conscious of Him, then we would never sin. Is that possible? Is it possible to never sin? Well, now nobody's perfect. We're all just sinners. Saved by grace, you know, nobody's perfect. We're all going to miss it sometimes. Well, I wouldn't preach that. That's not the Bible. Now, do people miss it? Yes. And if people miss it, thank God, there's cleansing in the house. There's forgiveness of sins in Him. There's 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to Christians. So, you know, we confess it. If we miss it, we confess it. We get that. If you've missed it, but we don't preach, you're going to miss it, because that's not the gospel. It's not like a guarantee, like you have to miss it. I mean, Jesus Himself said to a woman who had been caught in adultery, whom He had rescued, and He said to her, where are your accusers? Has no one accused you? No one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. It's because He rescued her. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now, sin, not as much. Did He say sin not as much? Don't sin as much. I understand you're going to miss it, Mary. You're going to mess up. But yet just confess up fast when you do it, you know. You're going to. What did He say to her? Sin. Would He tell her to do something she couldn't do? Well, she could do it because He just empowered her to do it with His word. He just gave her the ability to sin no more by simply giving her his word. Sin no more. If God says it, then he performs it. God performs his word. He is watching over his word to perform it in our lives. You know, we see that in Jeremiah. Why don't you go there? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the first chapter, in verse 12, the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." This is my version, New King James Version. I'm ready to perform my word. But that word ready is italicized, and over in my margin, it could say watching. So we could read it this way, "For I am watching to perform my word." I'm watching to perform my word. And let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Jeremiah 1:12, it says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it.'" Notice that. I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. When Jesus said to Mary, when he said, "Sin no more," he empowered her with his own words to sin no more. He himself is now responsible for the words that he spoke to be able to uphold her if she believes it. He's able to uphold her and to keep her from sinning. Otherwise, he'd be unjust. Otherwise, he'd be telling her to do something that she could not do. And of course, she could not do it in her own strength. Just like you can't do it in your own strength. But he said it, so therefore that means she can. Because he said it, she can, and he's got to make sure that she can. If she believes him, takes him at his word, then she will. Because he is watching over his word to perform it. Did you get that? And we got a whole book. We don't just have one. You know, I'm just saying a couple things to us, you know. Sin no more. He's saying a whole lot of things to us. And when he says it, he backs it up. He's watching over it to make sure it is performed in our lives. The Amplified Classic says it this way. "Then said the Lord to me, 'You have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it.'" God's watching over the words of his mouth. So what are we saying about ourselves? What are we saying about life? Let's say what he's saying. I said, let's say what he is saying. And he is saying that we are in him. And in him, there's righteousness. In him, there's peace, there's joy. In him, there's complete protection. In him, there is safety. Doesn't matter what kind of arrows are flying around him. In him, you are unharmed. Nothing can hurt you in him. This is what we need to be confessing about ourselves, because God, this is what God is watching over to perform in our life. Hebrews 3, verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren," forget it, he's not writing to you. This is to the holy brethren. Right? I mean, this is for holy people. This is for like the Pope or someone like that. Notice what he calls you, holy brethren. Well, what does the word holy mean? Set apart. See, we're set apart. It's just all over the word. You just can't get away from it. We're set apart from the devil. We're set apart from the evil of this world. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all around us, but we are set apart in him. That's what it means to be holy. Holy is more about where you are than what you do. A lot of folks, when they think about holy and living holy, they think about what you do. But first, it's number one, where you are. You are set apart in him. You have been set aside. You've been taken aside from the things of this world, and you are in him. And because of that, because you are holy, set apart in him, you live different than those that are not set apart and in him. You live differently. You respond to things differently in life. Because you're not a victim in life. You're not on your own trying to save your life. You're in him. So say, I'm holy. See, it's God who makes you holy. And what does it mean to be holy? To be in him. Set apart in him. Somebody say, I'm holy. Yeah, you're holy. See, a lot of people think holy, they think about what they're wearing. Donna, you should have your hair up in a bun. And not so much makeup, Missy. We're trying to be holy around here. Watch the length of your dress. We're trying to be holy around here. That's not being holy. Are you getting this? This is how the world thinks. It's fleshy. It's carnal. It's just religious. We are in him. That is what makes us holy. And he's the one that did it. He's the one that translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he's the one that put us in him. So I'm already holy. We're holy brethren. Now, become conscious of that, and it affects your lifestyle. It'll affect the way you talk. It'll affect the way you do things in life. A lot of people are trying to change the way they do things in life while just seeing themselves in themselves. In fact, you even hear people say, well, I just can't come to church right now. I got to get some things right in my life. I got to get things right in my life before I can come into the church. No, 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 no. You get in him. You get in him. That's number one. And then that affects your lifestyle. That empowers you to sin no more. That's what enables you to live free of condemnation and not be bound by past faults that keep causing you to repeat them. We don't identify that with that anymore with the kingdom of darkness. We are now in him, the kingdom of God's Son. That's where we are. And as a result of that, yeah, your mindset changes. Things change. How you live, how you conduct yourself is going to become more and more in line with him because you're in him. I'm sorry, am I talking about him too much? I mean, it's church. I probably shouldn't talk about him so much. But I just can't help myself. I'm sorry, you're victims of my problem this morning. We just can't talk enough about him. Now, that was a bonus. I got stuck on holy. We can move on from here now. You ready? Therefore, holy brethren, say I'm holy. Now, why are you holy? Because I'm in him. Right? You're set apart in him. That's where you're set apart from the mess. You're in him. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Notice, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's watching over our confession. So here in Jeremiah, he said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. And then the Bible says, he's the high priest of our words, of what we're saying. See, he's, in other words, put it together. He's looking for you to say what he's saying. He's looking for you to get in agreement with him. How do you know if you're speaking contrary to what he's saying, then you're not in agreement with him. You're not in sync with him. You're not cooperating with him. And if we want to walk in healing, we want to experience the miraculous in our life, then we have to walk in agreement with him. Really, that's all it actually takes, is stop resisting God. Stop running from your answer. Stop pushing away your answer because of fear and start cooperating with him. Cooperate with his word. And he performs it in your life. I mean, man's been running from God since Adam. Man's been hiding behind fig trees since Adam. Well, now we've been born again. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We've been made new creations. We've been placed in the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be running anymore. And yet, so many people still are because they're more conscious of their flesh and what they see and what they've done and what others are doing and what's going on around them than what God has done for them by placing them in Him. So as a result, you still have Christians acting really like unsaved people, reacting to things the same way. Reacting the same way. It's so sad. Christians, I mean, they taught the Word of God and everything else, but they're still reacting the same way. I mean, I've gone up to the hospital, visit the sheep, you know. You got a little sheepy in the hospital, and you go in there, and they've been in there. You didn't even know about it. You found out through Facebook. Nobody even called for the elders of the church, like the Word of God tells you to do. They didn't even call for any help. They just find out on Facebook, and then you go up there, and then there they are. There's no Bible. There's no Bible anywhere. You know, TV's just a-going. And you got somebody getting killed on television. Why would you want to watch people getting killed when you're lying there and your life is being threatened in a hospital bed? I don't know. But there they are. Nobody, and I mean, they're just reacting the exact same way the world does to the circumstances of life. I mean, as soon as something happens, you know, they run for the medicine cabinet. Instead of calling on Jesus, they're reaching for Tylenol. Because, you know, that's their protection. That's their help. We shouldn't be reacting that way. We should, first place we go is, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? I'm feeling this way. Oh, but what does the Word say about it? Well, I mean, I know what the Word, you know, you even got these folks that'll say, you know, somebody will say, you need to call the pastor about that. Which they really don't have to because you're a believer and you can help them too. But anyway, you should call the pastor about that. And said, no, I know what he's going to say. That's brilliant. You know what I'm going to say. That's like, you know, telling somebody, hey, read the Bible. No, I already read that. I know what the Word says. Well, apparently you don't. You don't know it well enough. We got to know the power of the Word. I mean, that's what we need to be speaking. We need to come back to what does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? We need to have that consciousness, that God consciousness, not sin consciousness, God consciousness, Word consciousness. That's what we're thinking about. That's what God's thinking about. That's what God is looking to perform in our life. So we come back to, what does the Word say about this situation? And our high priest, as we begin to speak that word, he is obligated to perform it. That's what he wants to do. But he's obligated to do it. He's watching over his word to make sure it comes to pass. If we believe it, if we're in agreement with it. And we got to stay in agreement with it. Continue to believe. Not, I believed for X amount of time. And nothing happened. Well, that's because you just revealed to yourself that you had a time limit on your believing. Which means when you started to believe, you were already in unbelief. You just didn't know it yet until we got to this time. And there it showed up in this thing called impatience. And where there's impatience, there's unbelief. See what I'm saying? So we got to go into things, go into the Word of God saying, I believe the Word of God no matter what. Just like that time that I got bit by something in the night out there in that country home in Oklahoma. And, you know, I was confessing the Word, trying to get myself together to get to the hospital, to get to the emergency room. And I mean, I'm running, looking for the keys. And I mean, I'm sweating. And the devil's telling me, I got you. You're going to die out here in this country home and nobody's going to find you. And I turned on the truck, and I was getting ready to go, and I'm confessing the scriptures in fear like crazy. And then I just settled down for a minute, and then this thought came. You know, either what you're saying is true or it's not. You know, because I'm confessing, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions over the power of the enemy. You know, in the name of Jesus, by whose stripes I'm healed, and I thank you, Lord, I'm redeemed from the curse of the Lord. I mean, I know the scriptures. And I mean, you took it, you know, and I'm just confessing, and then it was like, You know, either what you're saying is true or it's not. But here I am. I'm running away from him as I'm confessing. I'm running away from him. I'm not standing in him. I said, you're right. And I just stopped, turned the truck off, got out of the truck, went to the back of the truck, stood there in the driveway. And I said, Lord, either what you said is true or not. I said, I believe it's true. So I'm just going to praise you right here, right now. And if I die, I'm going to die praising you. In other words, I believe you no matter what. I believe you no matter what. And if I die, I die. Then we'll talk about it when I get there. We're going to have ourselves a big talk. And every symptom just cleared right up. Praise God. You know, symptoms are empowered by fear. Symptoms are empowered by fear. It's amazing how fear can make you feel like things are happening to you. I've met several people that felt like they were having a heart attack and they were having a panic attack. They were just panicking. It wasn't a heart attack. It was a panic attack. It was fear. Fear was gripping them. And it was simulating a heart attack perfectly. You know, I remember one time fear gripped me. I was dealing with some symptoms, and I was actually in a service, and the minister said some things that actually described the exact symptoms I had. He went to a doctor, and this is what it was diagnosed as. And so the thought came, well, that's what you got. This is it. This is it. And I mean, my mouth dried up. I didn't go, my tongue was thickening in my mouth. My mouth got dry. And I started, you know, then the preacher's voice was getting further and further away. It was like I was falling into some kind of tunnel. And I was actually getting ready to faint. And I looked down, and my hand was as white as a sheet. I mean, I looked down, just white as a ghost. And so much of the guy next to me looked at me. And he said, are you all right? I said, no. Get me some water. And he went and got water, and I was about to faint. And what was happening? Fear. I was fearing. That's all it was. Fear. Just where my mind was. What I was thinking. I was considering what this man said and considering that this might be me. And I was considering what that means. And as a result of that, immediately I began to feel it physically. And physically, I was having problems. Now, I don't know how he came back with that water and it somehow revived me and brought me back. I was just about to go. And that water revived me. But I left there and I said, Lord, we're going to have a talk right now. What happened in there? I need to know what happened in there. Well, he showed me that I had gotten away from his word. I had just gotten away from his word. I just wasn't giving the attention to the word like I was used to doing. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, it was a pride thing, as it always is. It was a pride thing. I actually remember looking at the word thinking, you know, I've read this, and I just kind of was kind of bored. I was kind of bored. Kind of like, you know, see, when you think you're bored reading the word, it's because you think you've exhausted it. You don't know that there's an adventure on every page that you have not experienced yet. There are so many things in here you have not seen yet. And things we need to see. It is spiritual food that we just keep ingesting into our spirit man. And it is affecting every part of our life. So I saw it and I said, okay, here we go, Genesis. And that's not going to happen again. I'm going to keep myself in the word, keep the word of God before me. Keep the word in me. And as the word abides in me, I abide in him. And that's a safe place to be. So again, he goes on here in Hebrews 3:1. He says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Ever say consider? The apostle and high priest of our confession. So we know he's watching over his words to perform it. And here he's telling us that he's really watching over the words of our mouth, looking for his words in our mouth. And he says for us that we are to consider him. What we're considering is very important. consider him. That word consider there means to set your mind upon until you fully see. Well, we haven't fully seen him yet, have we? I mean, have we fully seen everything there is to be seen in him? No. So what do? We keep our minds set on him and we keep looking. We keep looking. We keep looking into that word for a deeper insight, deeper revelation. We continue to consider him. And what we're considering is what we're going to be confessing. It's what we're going to become conscious of, and it's going to affect our condition. Just like you consider something fearful, you consider that, and it immediately causes you to become conscious of negative things, fearful things, so that what happens? It begins to affect your condition. Just like me, just about ready to faint. All these different lying symptoms that fear can bring on, that fear can bring upon us. So we want to consider him. And what are we considering about him? That we are in him. We are in him. His word is in us. And we are everything the word says we are. We are the righteousness of God in him. We are healed in him. In him. In him. Everybody say in him. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 1, he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Somebody say, I'm surrounded. Notice what we're surrounded by. This great cloud of, who are they? What's this great cloud of witnesses? Well, it's talking about all the people named here in Hebrews chapter 11. All these great heroes of faith. All these great heroes of faith, Abraham, Moses, all these people that have gone before us and who are in faith, they're over in that realm of glory. The Bible says we're surrounded by them. Why? Because we're in him. We're all in the same place. We're in the same place those who are in heaven are in. That's where you and I are in. And so we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes it feels like you're surrounded by evil. We're being attacked on every side. I know of a church where the pastor started, you know, saying things about being under an attack, and the church is under an attack. We're under an attack. And people started getting sick. Maybe someone died. Some terrible things happened, and all the people kept talking about was that we're under an attack. You know, in other words, we're surrounded. The enemy's closing in on us. Well, it just generated more and more fear until finally that church doesn't exist anymore. They confessed themselves right out of the will of God for their life. The whole church just folded up. I mean, people, first of all, started evacuating the place because they were surrounded. You know, it's like, get out. Get out. Get out. You know, we're under an attack. You got to panic. You got to make some changes. You got to do something. And so that's began to happen. And that whole church just began to cave because of that. I don't know where that pastor or any of those people are today. But it was because of what they were considering and confessing that affected their condition. It caused things to get worse and worse and worse, and the whole thing just fell apart. We need to be doing just the opposite. We need to be considering him and what he says and confessing that, confessing the word. Because that's where we live. That's who we're in. That's our life now. It's all in him. So we are surrounded. Somebody say, I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. Hallelujah. Praise God. More than just a song, we need to have that reality. Somebody say, I'm surrounded. I had one lady come in here and she thought she was a prophetess. And she said, the Lord showed me there's demons on top of this church. They're all around. Oh, wow. It's not what the Bible shows me. The Bible tells me demons are all under my feet. They're not on the roof. They're under my feet. I saw two demons on the roof. And they're No. They're under my feet. Demons are under my feet. But I am surrounded by God. He's given his angels charge over me. I got angels over me. I got God all around me. See, people talk themselves into all kinds of problems. Stop speaking fear. That's what makes the way for oppression. Let's keep ourselves over in faith. How? By considering Him, confessing the truth about us, confessing who we are, where we are in Him. We're holy brethren, part of the family of God, both in heaven and earth. We are surrounded by a great cloud of faith people who are rooting for us, cheering us on. We got an innumerable company of angels here at our disposal, ready to help us. We've got the power of the Most High God on the inside of us. We're under His shadow. We are in Him. This is who we are. This is where we are. This is what we have. Somebody say, I'm surrounded. See, therefore, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Why does it so easily ensnare you? Because you keep forgetting where you are. You keep forgetting what's around you. You got a lot of people watching you. That'll keep you from sin. That'll keep you from trouble. And you know you're being watched. Somebody say, I got a cloud of witnesses watching me. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, that's what he's completing in us. Our faith in what he has done for us already. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. There it is again. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What's going to keep you from being weary? What's going to keep you from being discouraged? Considering him. Considering what's making you weary. Is that what's going to keep you from discouragement? Considering what's making you weary? Considering everything that's going wrong? Because remember, what you're considering, you're going to be confessing. And then that's going to affect your condition. But we're going to consider him. We're going to confess him. We're going to confess his word, and that's going to affect our condition. In other words, we're going to have exactly what he said. He's watching over his word to perform it. We're going to have exactly what he said. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. We're going to consider him. You know, Brother Hagin had a tremendous revelation from the Lord. He was dealing with alarming heart symptoms. And if you know his story, he was born with an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart. And it was a miracle that he survived that. And then through faith in God's word, he completely was healed and overcame that. Well, now years later, he's out ministering in things. And one night he lies down and he starts having alarming heart symptoms. And he starts speaking the word of God and things. He'd get some relief, he said, and then he'd fall off to sleep. But then he'd wake right back up and the symptoms would be even worse. And that happened a couple times, and so he's like, Lord, you gotta help me. And as he was dealing with these symptoms, he heard this word on the inside of him, in his thoughts, consider him. Consider him. So then he got to thinking, consider him. And he remembered the scripture, you know, talking about Jesus, that we're to consider him, the scriptures we just looked at. Consider him. So he started considering Jesus and all that Jesus has done for him. Praise God. And he got relief and he fell off to sleep. But then a little while later, he woke back up and the symptoms were even worse. And now he was really struggling and he said, Lord, you're going to have to do something. Right? I'm about ready to go. I'm about ready to check out. It got so severe. And then he heard this in his thoughts. Consider not. Consider not. And he thought, consider not. Consider not. And he remembered Romans, the 4th chapter. Why don't you go there? Romans, the 4th chapter. Talking about Abraham. in verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider, old King James would say, consider not. He considered not his own body. God spoke to him that night in King James, the old King James. Because that's how, you know, Brother Hagin, that's what he read. If the Lord was to speak to me, he'd speak in New King James. See? He did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years of age, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Notice, he focused on the promise. God told him he and his wife were going to have this child. Everything said they were not going to be able to have this child. But he did not consider the conditions. He only considered what God had said. He stayed with what, this is the other half of it now, make sure you get this. He considered not the conditions. He was totally focused on what God had said. That's what he considered. He considered him, considered who he was in him, considered the promises of God. That's what you and I need to be doing. And as a result, we'll be strengthened in our faith, becoming fully convinced. You don't get fully convinced considering your body, considering your conditions, considering God, considering what he says, going back, considering your body, considering your conditions, considering what God said, coming back, considering the conditions, everybody say all in.
All in.
See, because we're in him, we need to be all in. All in. How do you get all in? Consider him. And consider not the circumstances. Consider not those conditions. Do you see that? Well, Brother Hagin did that. The Lord showed him, said, consider not. And the Lord showed him, he said, now see, you start considering what I've done for you, and you start doing well, but then as soon as a little symptom shows up, as soon as you start dealing with any kind of symptom, you immediately begin to focus on that. You begin to focus on that. And that's what causes you to begin to doubt and get out of that place of faith. Can we do this? Yes, we can. Consider him and consider not. God's word is the final word. He's the final authority. And if I need to do something else, if there's something, like his wisdom will guide me what to do. If there's something else I need to be doing, he'll show me. I'm not going to do anything panicking. I'm not going to do anything in fear by the grace of God. Are you with me? No, no, no. What we do prayerfully. We do what we do led by the Spirit of God. Would God lead somebody to a hospital? Of course. Would God lead people to take medicine? Yes. Would God lead people to go to a healing miracle service? Would God lead people to have hands laid on them? Would God, see, there's all kinds of ways God leads. So we're going to be led by him. How can you do that? You got to consider him. You got to think on him more than anything else. More than what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing in the natural, you fix your mind on him. What does the word say? What does God say about this? And we don't have to panic and worry because we are safe in him. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank Jesus. Thank God our Father. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, our teacher, giving us utterance this morning. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.